Exodus chapter 33, verse 7 to 23, and it's on page 92 of the Church Bible. Now Moses used to take a tent and pitch it outside the camp some distance away, calling it the Tent of Meeting. Anyone inquiring of the Lord would go to the Tent of Meeting outside the camp. And whenever Moses went out of the tent, all the people rose and stood at the entrances to their tent, watching Moses until he entered the tent. As Moses went into the tent, a pillar of cloud would come down and stay at the entrance while the Lord spoke with Moses. Whenever the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the entrance to the tent, they all stood and worshipped, each at the entrance to their tent. The Lord would speak to Moses face to face, as one speaks to a friend. Then Moses would return to the camp, but his young assistant Joshua, son of Nun, did not leave the tent. Moses said to the Lord, "You have been telling me, 'Lead these people,' but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. You have said, 'I know you by name, and you have found favor with me.' If you are pleased with me, teach me your ways, so I may know you and continue to find favor with you. Remember that this nation is your people." The Lord replied, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." Then Moses said to him, "If your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. How will anyone know that you are pleased with me and with your people unless you go with us? What else will distinguish me and your people from all the other people on the face of the earth?" And the Lord said to Moses, "I will do the very thing you have asked, because I am pleased with you and I know you by name." Then Moses said, "Now show me your glory." And the Lord said, "I will cause all my goodness to pass in front of you, and I will proclaim my name, the Lord, in your presence. I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. But," he said, "you cannot see my face, for no one may see me and live." Then the Lord said, "There is a place near me where you may stand on a rock. When my glory passes by, I will put you in a cleft in the rock and cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Then I will remove my hand, and you will see my back, but my face must not be seen." This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you. Lovely to see you. It's been a while since I've been preaching here. I should warn you, most of the things I've been preaching recently have been at conferences and festivals and weekends, so I get to speak for a lot longer then. Now I should try and be good this evening. It's lovely to see you. For those of you who haven't been around for a while, we've been working our way through a kind of canter, I would say, through the Old Testament. So we worked through, I think, about five sessions in Genesis, and then we've done a couple in Exodus, interspersed with a few other things. And we've got this evening as far as Exodus 33, just picking a few key passages through those books, which we'll reflect on in a moment. But before we do any more, let's pray. Father God, thank you for your glory. Thank you for that you reveal your love to us in mighty ways. Thank you for the privilege we have of your presence. And we pray that you would, by your Spirit, shine your light upon us this evening. Give us fresh insight, fresh understanding, fresh revelation of who you are. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Do have that passage open with you, if you can. The Bible's at the back if you haven't got one with you. But I think it was about May, or it may have been June, some time ago anyway. One of my daughters was going on about Christmas, and in a rash moment, my wife said, "I don't want to hear about Christmas until at least September." On the 1st of September, a Christmas list appeared. You could say that my daughter was seeking after the presents. Last week, in a slight change of tack, Andy was here as giving a bit of a feedback from Soul Survivor and the time that the young people here had away over the summer. And Andy said, "There's nothing like 10,000 young people worshipping together in a tent." So we could say Soul Survivor is an experience that is in tents. Exodus 33 is also about being in tents. It's actually about being in tents and out of tents, actually. If you see verse 8, when Moses goes out to the Tent of Meeting, everyone comes out of the front of their tent and actually watches while they sing. So at that point, they're not in tents, they are out of tents, so to speak. But it is, to carry on the play on words, in tents. And of course, not about Christmas presents, but about God's presence. And the opening of the passage does read a little bit like a great soul survivor or new wine summer gathering, actually. You know, the people have got their individual family tents that they're gathered around, and then there's this tent of meeting that's a bit of a distance to it. Now, anyone who's been at Soul Survivor or New Wine, the big thing you kind of think about is, how far are we from the centre? You know, well, no, the first thing you think of is, how far are we from the loos and the shower blocks? But, and then you think, how far are we from the centre? What's the walk going to be to get to the main arena each and every day? And there's different views on that. Some want to be really, really close, so there isn't so far to go. Others want to be a bit further, so the noise is not quite so intense. And it's interesting, Moses' solution is to put the tent of meeting outside the camp. That. So everyone's actually got to troll a little bit of a distance. I don't know if anyone's ever thought of that. I don't think that would go down too well with summer conferences. But in those kind of conferences, you get a big banner outside the arena or the different seminar venues to tell you what's going on. Here, we don't get one of those. We get the pillar of cloud. The pillar of cloud in verse 10. A visual sign of God's presence. And his presence leads to worship. And, you know, if we somehow saw God, said in this passage that we can't see God and live, if we somehow saw God or saw the risen Jesus come into this room this evening, surely the response would be to bow down, fall on our faces and worship. And it's presence that I want to think about this evening. And I want to think, first of all, about the importance of his presence. A couple of weeks ago, the family and I were in the Peak District in a friend's cottage that they kindly let us use for a few days. And it was a cottage that had no Wi-Fi, it had no TV signal, and it had no mobile signal. It's quite an unusual experience these days, isn't it? Because we do actually get, we're pretty addicted, aren't we? Or maybe it's just me. Actually, looking around, I know a lot of you are quite addicted as well. You know, I've got this theory, you know, it used to be, go back a few years, you go somewhere new, maybe to visit a friend or somewhere, and once you've said the pleasantries, the first thing you ask is, can I use the loo? These days, you go do the pleasantries, and the next first thing you say is, what's your Wi-Fi password? There is a kind of sense of that. And we were in this place that had no connectivity at all. It's not entirely true. We read in the guest book that someone had discovered if you went up to the loft bedroom, there was a converted loft, up into the bedroom, stood on the bed and put your phone really up high, you could just about get a signal. So there was one evening when my sister-in-law was with us, there is a picture of my sister-in-law and I both standing on her bed, reaching up our hands, trying to WhatsApp each other. Yeah, maybe it was a hallelujah moment. In a fairly pointless exercise. I mean, to be fair, we were both checking for messages that we might have received, but also checking what the weather was going to be like the next day. You know, it's extraordinary. You know, these days, we don't actually go outside the house to check the weather, do we? Look it up and see what's the weather like outside. But I'm digressing. But, you know, we crave, many of us, the presence of the internet. We've become dependent. And, of course, I wonder, but what about the presence of God? Do we crave that in the same way? Moses says here in verse 15, we resolve to go nowhere where God's presence is not. We resolve to go nowhere where God's presence is not. I almost imagine in my head, and those these days, can't, if you've got a fancy car, I haven't, but if you've got a fancy car, some of them, haven't they got technology that keeps you in the lane? And if you start sort of veering off into another lane, you'll get warnings. It's almost a little bit like that. I imagine we're only going to go where your presence is. If we veer off to the left or the right, we want a warning that says, bring us back into the centre of your presence. And it's a bit like if someone is an ambassador in a foreign land, or even a sales rep, in a foreign land. You know, they need to be in contact with the base. They need to be in contact with home. Surely that's the same with us and God's presence. But the question I then found myself asking, it's the levels of presence. Because as I was looking at this passage, I faced kind of verse 11 and verse 20. In verse 11, we hear that Moses is talking to God face to face. And yet then in verse 20, he says, you mustn't look at my face. You dare not look at my face. You won't be able to cope with it. So I find myself asking the question, what does that mean? And it just made me think about different levels, if I can put it that way, of God's presence. Because you see, in Psalm 139, verse 7, we read, well, where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the highest mountain, you're there. If I go to the deepest valley, you're there. Everywhere I go, God is going to be there by his presence. So at one level, he is in terms of that sense of presence. And then we have this thing that we see in verse 11, where Moses seems to be talking to God face to face. It says, as a friend, as one would speak face to face, in a natural, clear, direct way, which feels to me almost like the next level of God's presence, where there's a degree of intimacy. You could say, in a way, of just praying freely, using our own words, instead of just using words that other people have written that we then follow. I think when he talks about face to face, he's not talking about seeing his literal face, because he, of course, then said afterwards, you can't see my face. So this is a kind of an image of speaking in an intimate, friendly way. So I'll come back to thinking about not seeing his face a little bit later. Because in verse 18, wanting a new level of God's presence, if I can put it that way, Moses says, I want to see your glory. I want to see your glory. And God says, you can't. It's great that Moses wants more. Many of us would probably be happy with that sense of that closeness of speaking face to face, but he wants more. His appetite has been whetted. His need is one that he has recognized. But we discover there's a limit to what we can cope with. I mean, we all remember, don't we, when there is an eclipse happening at any time, the reminders about, don't look at it. You mustn't look, because if we look at the sun, we won't be able to cope. Half the pictures of my daughters tend to be with them looking down like that, or with sunglasses on, because they just don't like anything at all bright. And it's interesting, isn't it? What God says here is, you can see my glory, in this image of hiding Moses in the cleft of the rock and saying, I know it's very anthropomorphic language, but him passing by, and then I'm going to cover your face, and then you can look and see where I've gone. But I love that image that we see God through what he has done. Where his footprints have gone, where the marks of his footprints are, there we can see the prints of his activity, the aftermath of his activity. And that's much as Moses is going to be able to cope. But that sense of looking for more, craving more, recognizing that God is not just someone we can have an equal chat to. Yes, he's accessible, but we are children of God. He calls us friends, not servants, but also we're called to be humble and recognize what he allows for us. But if that's the importance, if that's the level of presence, what about the availability of God's presence? Moses was a blessed man with special privileges. He was God's chosen person for that era, that time. But God's presence is available to all of us by his Spirit. That's a gift. We might even say it's a present. People get into a bit of a knot sometimes about, that prayer, come Holy Spirit. But what we're saying when we say come Holy Spirit is a recognition, yes, God by his Spirit is already here, but reveal yourself to us. Come in a greater level of intensity. Come that we might connect with you in new ways. Come that you might overwhelm us. Come that we might see and appreciate more of your love. And the challenge is, in terms of the availability, that God is not just the God of the conferences. Yes, there is something special about 10,000 others worshipping together in a tent. But actually, the challenge is to seek after God's presence here where we are, day by day, in that daily plod with God. It's a challenge because there's not the excitement and the fun of being in a great gathering with others. And it's a challenge because the faith environment, where so many people are for it, to use that great theological term, is great. And yet God is the same God, yesterday, today, forever. And in places like this, in places like your home, in places like your school, in places like your work, as he is in the great festivals. And that's the challenge of everyday living that Andy alluded to last week. And I think there's also, when we think about God's presence, Eleanor mentioned this morning in our holiday club service, that reminder of what it means to be in God's presence is not just some kind of quiet, esoteric being on your own in a kind of little bubble. Joe used that lovely analogy as a bubble also this morning. That's great, and we do need to make sure we take space and time to set ourselves away from the hustle bustle of life where we can truly focus on God. But also, remember, where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I. And that great reminder from this morning, that who is the body of Christ? We are the body of Christ. So actually, if we want to be in the presence of God, we need to make sure that we don't distance ourselves from the body of Christ. And that's so often the case when you see in churches where people, for whatever reason, just disappear from the fellowship. We're actually distancing ourselves from one of the things that we need to be in God's presence. I'm sure I've used the story before. Forgive me if you've heard it before, but the story of a man who hadn't been part of the church fellowship for some time, and his vicar goes to see him. He goes to his vicar to say, "I'm really struggling spiritually." And I'm not sure if this is one of these true stories or apocryphal story, but it's a great illustration. And the vicar takes, with a pair of tongs, a coal from the burning fire that's there, and it's glowing yellow and red and fiery. And he takes that coal and takes it off and puts it on the hearth. And of course, as time goes by, it cools down. It cools down from burning yellow, red down to orange. It goes down to grey, eventually black. All the heat of the fire is lost as that coal is removed. The great thing is, all you need to do is put that back in, and sure enough, that coal will set ablaze again. So the presence of God is available by His Spirit. It's available to us in our rooms, in our homes, wherever we are on our own, but it's also available through each other and in each other. Last, but by no means least, is actually the purpose of God's presence. You see, the experience of God's presence is never just about having some kind of nice feeling. I sometimes call what we do in church a bit like we like to call it a service, don't we? Almost a bit like a service station where you stop and you fill up maybe your fuel if you're a millionaire and can afford service station prices, and maybe something to eat, and then you get on your way. You don't want to spend your life in a service station, but actually you need. And I know there's a branch of the church that actually is called gatherings, a bit like our kind of going deeper. They actually call them filling stations. It's that kind of sense. But it's about equipping, but never setting up camp there. Recognizing that we come together to be equipped, to be refilled, to then live our lives in the different places that God puts us. So the purpose of God's presence, so I think there's at least three things here. First of all, the purpose of being in God's presence is to get to know Him better. Moses says in verse 13, "Show me your ways, teach me. I recognize I don't know it all. I need to know more, please, God." Secondly, and I confess I'd never noticed this before, one of the purposes of God's presence is rest. Verse 14, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." I think that's something to do with the fact that when we know who God is, when we know who we are in Him, then we can know peace. Peace, as Paul puts it, that passes understanding. Peace that in the midst of all the kind of clutter and the rubbish that we might be going through, we're still at peace. We've heard some examples of that this evening. But the presence is also about making us distinctive, about making us different, about making an impact on the world around us. Moses says here, we need to know that. We need your presence so that we can be distinct, so that people will say, there's something different about us. It makes us stand out, the aroma of Christ. Did you know, and I've only ever heard this second and third hand, but those who, pagans and witches and those who dabble in the occult, you know, will say, you Christians don't know the power you carry. And actually the people who are tuned in spiritually like that can see the power of God on us. There's a couple of heads. That actually there is something, it's almost like we've got this extraordinary power that we don't realize it. And it's not just those who are into the occult and stuff like that. I was had an experience a few weeks ago when, and it can only be God because it certainly isn't me, I was talking to some people, and I'd just come out of a gathering of several thousand people worshipping. And they said, as you came across the room, we could see the Spirit on you. That actually there's something extraordinary about the presence of God, the aroma of Christ. There was a word, I wasn't here, but a couple of weeks ago we had the Going Deeper service. And I found out afterwards a word that had been given, and I think it's so significant. A word from the Lord that says, "My children, I'm calling you to seek after my presence and to pursue me and my ways with all your hearts. I'm calling you towards a deeper intimacy with me. I long to pour out more of my love and my strength and my power upon you so that you might carry the light and power of my presence into dark places." So that you might carry the light and power of my presence into dark places. It goes on in detail about what the Lord is calling us to do, to look out for serving those in need around us, looking out for the hungry, the thirsty, the ones in need. It uses words like reaching out beyond the church, drawing men and women and children who do not yet know me. See where I'm working and reach out to touch and to love and to serve. Seek first my presence. Seek after me with all your heart and allow my spirit to move through you. Then you'll be like a spring, like a watered garden, like a refreshing rain. Lay your lives before me afresh. Trust me with every part of your lives. Great and wonderful things in your midst that will bring glory and honor to my name, says the Lord. So you see, God's intense presence is a present for us in a tent, but it's also a present for us in church, present for us in anywhere. And it's a present not just for us, but for others. Seeking after God's presence is, in one sense, our first priority, because the others come out of it as we seek to go deeper in our devotion to God. And we're so privileged to live in this post-Easter era where God's presence is available to us by his presence, by his spirit. We don't have to wait to go and meet a special person outside the camp. And we can be changed by his presence so that we can be change agents in the world. Father God, I want to thank you for the availability of your presence among us. Thank you for your love poured into us. Thank you that by your spirit you are here already. And yet I ask even tonight, as we seek to meet you in worship, in word, in the sacrament, and by your spirit, that you would come and take us deeper into you. As the old song says, take us deeper into you and make our flesh lives melt away. Give us a glimpse. Give us a glimpse, we dare to pray, of your glory, as much as we can handle, no more, no less. Come, Holy God, afresh. We dare to pray that you would pour more of yourself into ourselves, to meet us in our pain, meet us in our joy, meet us in our uncertainty, but meet us. Come, Holy Spirit.